Kinda broke the scene, y'all. So all I got is fire. I got fire.
Player, give me some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that likes to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S, the T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So pass it across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. And some wrap my lips around the 40. And when it comes to getting another stogie, fools all kick in like Shinobi. Know me ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many hands to be. Probably let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy. $5 bill on the real before it's history. Cause fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them hit it for free, you hella dumb. Da-dum-dum. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the flick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. Got me throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homies nag me to take the dank out of the bag. I'm so keyed up till the joint be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogees get hit, but they know they got a pitch and bent. I roll a joint that's longer than your extension. Cause I'll be damned if you get high off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own slip, cheap. What's up, don't babysit that. Better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it. Cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test to my PO. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tango Ray straight had me. Made my yesterday thing. Got me hung off the night train. You fade, I fake. So let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hashish. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the 2 though, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land getting smoke with my kid. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray you, lay it down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the BSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's scroller, I'm the roller. That's quick to fold a blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, it's all you do, kicking. Cause we're IBs, we need to have like a foo-foo.
Hello, hello there. My name is Maria. I'm with my co-host, Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Sign Radio, and this is The Real Show, with two E's. The music you just heard was I Got Five On It by Loonies in 1995. That's the year, that's right. What was that year like, Corey?
Spontaneous.
Was it? Spontaneous? Didn't know what was going to happen.
Exactly. What one day you're wearing, you know, normal clothes, next day spandex, you know, it's whatever, man.
Yeah. Did you actually have five on it?
I put $5 on horses, if that's what you want about.
No, okay.
So I had five on that.
Good, good. I'm glad you did have indeed five on it as we business.
I'm sure that's what the song's about.
Yeah. We got a packed show for you today for this special broadcast. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host, Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. Today we're coming back at you with something that we haven't really done for a while, but we're giving it a bit of a new twist.
Yeah, so, in fact, it's... This is our 22nd episode, right?
It is, correct. Number 22.
Literally, it's like 19 episodes ago since we last did this.
Oh, wow. That's a nostalgia trip. Do you remember that? We were so young, Corey.
I know, right? I thought I was still the same age.
Yeah. But in our mind, in our radio mind, we were so young.
Yeah.
To everyone out here on wherever you're listening to this from, whether you're on YouTube, exactly, or you're on the radio, you listen to us. It's our 22nd episode. So 19 episodes ago, we did this concept, and we're bringing it back with a new twist for part three of our video game bonanza, our video game palooza on video game films.
Yeah.
We're bringing this back. Do you want to give a sort of, for the layman amongst you, what are we exactly going to be doing today?
Yeah, well, so today we have something like you said, ended in a while. It's a big thing, big episode, big. So big, it's going to, you know, knock you out. That's where our big wish is. So imagine, right, we've been doing video games. I'm sure everyone at home has played a game and thought, you know what? This would make a very good film. No, this would make a very good movie. So essentially, what we're doing that. We're literally pitching our own movies based on video mm-hmm. games. You know, if it's a game we played, we thought, you know what, that'd be good on the big screen. This is where we bring it to the table.
Mm-hmm. We've got a director, we've got a writer, we've got a cast, we've got a little description for you guys. We're bringing everything. We're bringing everything to the table, as Corey says. Effectively, imagine a big, big company, a big movie producer, big movie company has come to us and said, Murray, Corey, you get to make your own video game films based off of video game IP. Go nuts, whatever you want. No, a limitless budget, right?
Exactly.
So, I'm very actually anxious to know, because we haven't told each other, A, what a video game we're doing,
yeah,
or B, whoever we've picked.
Exactly, it's a mystery to us as well, so we'll both be shocked at our picks.
Right, well, we've had a discussion before this, and I have a few many cast members, so shall I go first?
Yes, that's probably the easiest way to do this.
My game is, I bet you're waiting with bated breath, aren't you, as to what game I have?
I know, right, yeah.
Okay, my game is a first-person shooter.
Okay.
Developed and originally published by Valve.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Valve?
I am familiar with Valve, the people that own Steam and make Half-Life, etc., etc.
This game combines combat shooting, puzzles, and storytelling. It revolves around physicist Gordon Freeman as he arrives late for work at the Black Mesa Research Facility.
Yeah,
As part of an experiment, he pushes an unusual material into a machine for analysis. The spectrometer explodes, creating a resonance cascade that severely damages the facility and opens a portal to another dimension, Zen. Nice. Surviving scientists urge Gordon to head to the surface, where he must defend himself against hostile Zen creatures and marines sent to cover up the incident. This is Half-Life.
Nice.
Thank you. Okay, do you approve?
Yes, I do. It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, well, it is. Games excellent.
Are two excellent. To two.
It's sort of famous for the orange box. Is that what they called it?
Yes. That's how I've played it.
Yeah. The Valve's orange box. It was Half-Life, TF2, and Portal, if I'm not
Portal
mistaken.
Portal 1, yes.
Mm. But who is going to direct this? Who could possibly direct a film of this magnitude? There's only one man for the job, and that is J.J. Abrams.
Okay. Decent start.
Yes. Multiple reasons. First off, he's no stranger to the big IPs. No strangers to the big franchises.
True.
We're looking at Star Trek, Star Wars, Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But also, he's got that seed of mystery. This is the mind behind Lost, we're talking.
Yeah.
This is the guy behind Lost, one of the guys behind Westworld.
Okay.
He's got, I could see this as either a film or a television show either. Probably a film, though, maybe film. I'm thinking film, we're doing film.
Yeah.
It's a film.
He's
actually... If you look up news about a possible Half-Life film, J.J. Abrams is in the running to direct.
Oh.
So I thought this could possibly lead into that, perhaps.
Someone's been doing their research.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I have. I've been researching up. So,
nice.
J.J. Abrams is my pick to direct this. So let's hear yours.
Okay, I kind of alluded to it earlier. I said this would be a knockout episode, and I was being very literal. My game comes from, well, I think it still started in the 80s. Specifically, the one that I'm loosely basing this on came out in 1987 and was published by Nintendo.
Oh, oh, I, oh, of course, oh. I know what's coming.
I am talking about Punch-Out. The lovely game Punch-Out.
Yes. Little Max Punch-Out. Is that what they call it?
Exactly. If people aren't aware, it's a old like arcade boxing game on like the NES and the SNES.
Right, okay.
As well.
Is it the one where you fight Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson's in one of them, yes.
Right, okay. Is Mike Tyson in your film?
Possibly.
Oh my god, imagine if he is.
But that's literally it. It's just an arcade game where like you start off as an underdog and then you face like people, you face the best fighters from like essentially every country.
Yeah.
And it's just this like third person dodge left, dodge right, duck, and then punch thing.
Punch, yeah. It's Little Mac. You are the character of Little Mac.
Yes. So I thought, okay, I'll director, right? We'll start with director. I thought, okay, who would make a good boxing film? And there's only a couple of choices for this. I have gone, however, for Ryan Coogler.
Oh, right.
Who directs Creed, which is a very, very obvious pick. I'm doing a boxing film. Let's get a guy who's directed boxing films.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
Sorted. It's an obvious pick, but I mean, it makes sense. He does box stuff. Good films. He's recent. He's current. He knows what he's doing.
Black Panther?
Exactly. Exactly. He knows what he's doing.
Good. That's a very good choice, I think. Yeah, it's nice to see the age sort of gap between our two video games. Half-Life was 1998.
I like how we both picked ones before 2000s, which are both when we were born.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go to writer. Writing is key, I think. I'm a screenwriter at heart myself. I think screenwriting is key to the structure of the film. So my writer, I've gone with, you may know her work, but you might not know her name. Her name is Jane Goldman.
You are correct. I am not familiar with her work.
Okay.
Can you explain,
maybe you
please?
Might be familiar with Kingsman: Secret Service.
Nice. Okay, now we're on to something. Now we're talking.
Or maybe you might be familiar with Kick-Ass, perhaps.
Okay.
Or The Woman in Black.
Yep, nice.
Yes, all written by Jane Goldman.
Mm.
And I think she's got that sort of the tone that I like, especially with Kick-Ass and Kingsman. I think a real blend of them could work well for Half-Life. A sort of thing that, like, it can be serious, it can be gritty and real, but it also has that sort of comedic, sort of running and gunning element that I think Kingsman has, and I think Half-Life could have. So, bit of a shorter pick, but Jane Goldman is my choice for my writer.
Okay. Let's see if I can rival that, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing to you. Are you familiar with, and I might somewhat get this name wrong, it's not even hard to pronounce, it's long. Are you familiar with Rawson Marshall Ferber?
Oh, I'll tell you that I'm not familiar with Rawson Marshall Ferber. Who is he?
Here we go. I'm going to reuse you a bit here. Are you familiar with Dodgeball?
Oh, I love Dodgeball.
And Central Intelligence?
Oh, I would kill for Central Intelligence.
Exactly. So I've picked him mainly because I was like, right, again, I was like, okay, I need a bit of comedy, right? I need a bit of comedy. Punch-Out's kind of got comedic, and mainly in its writing, there's no dialogue, but I was like, who's done comedy sports films? And I thought, you know what, Dodgeball is the best sports film and a comedy. It's great. So I thought, get the guys with Dodgeball. And Central Intelligence, rock Kevin Hart, great. Whack him
in. You've gone tactical with this choice, haven't you?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you're thinking sports film, you get Dodgeball in there, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, until my actors, that's a bit.
Okay. Well, I think I know who we're both going to do first.
Yeah.
Should we go straight into our casting then?
Yes.
Right. We'll start off with my main character, my protagonist, the driving force of the story. It is Gordon Freeman. Now, who could I possibly cast as Gordon Freeman? I'm looking for a person who. Now, Gordon Freeman is a mute character, bear in mind.
He is.
In the Half-Life games. He never says a word. My Gordon Freeman will be speaking, I'll tell you.
I wonder who this is going to be.
He will be speaking. You'll have to speak for the role, of course.
It has to be one person. If it's not one person, I'm going to be mad at you.
Oh, is it? Oh, dear. Oh, no. Is there a bit of tension here?
Come on, everyone's right. Thinking it. It's got to be.
Is it Hugh Laurie?
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
No, I'm not joking. It's Hugh Laurie.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's who I've picked. Why, who were you expecting?
I thought you were going to do a joke and pick Morgan Freeman.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not picking Morgan. Morgan Freeman is Gordon Freeman.
Yeah. You were like, oh, mind speaking. He has to speak. And you thought, yeah, of course, it's Morgan Freeman. Of course he's got to speak.
No, it's... The character is Gordon Freeman. I'm going with Hugh Laurie as Gordon Freeman.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess it fits more appearance-wise anyway.
Yeah, it fits more appearance-wise. He can grow a beard for it, whatever. He's been the main character for a series of films before. He's got House, obviously.
Yeah.
He's got Blackadder. He's been very good in Roadkill, if you've watched it on BBC.
I'm very glad you mentioned Blackadder in that list.
He can pull off an American accent, did so in House for seasons and seasons. Gordon Freeman's obviously a ranking Black Mesa scientist who is the cause of the resonance cascade and who has to escape the facility with the sort of Zen hostile creatures after him. So he's our main character. It's often in video games the main character is the most boring character. So,
yeah.
So I'm glad we've got him out of the way first. But I think Hugh Laurie, anything but boring. I think he could bring some real charisma, bring some real character to Gordon Freeman. I'm seeing him as sort of like maybe a pessimist, bit of a pessimistic character. Be like, oh, I don't think I can do this type of character. And it's the others who really have to, you know, spur him on. So that's what I think for Gordon Freeman. And I've chosen Hugh Laurie as Gordon Freeman.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Okay. Are you going for Little Mac?
I am. Little Mac is my first guy I'm going to unveil.
Okay. Describe to us the character of Little Mac.
Little Mac is your underdog. He is the Rocky in this game.
Mm-hmm.
He is short, or at least shorter than the other boxers, and smaller in size and stature, mm-hmm. hence the name Little Mac.
Yes, indeed.
Essentially, he is just your main character.
Yeah.
No one in this... No one in this game speaks. No one in the old NES and SNES speaks. The Wii version people do. But I thought, you know what? This guy's small. Or smaller. But he's still built. He's still, you know, he's got muscles, right? He's a boxer. I was trying to think, like, who fits that? And I thought, ah, there's a guy who's doing a film, I think it's maybe next year, who's doing another video game film. And I thought, oh, great, this guy's have experience.
Oh, okay, yes. And who is this guy?
This guy is Mr. Tom Holland.
Okay, Tom
Spider-Man,
Holland.
Playing Nathan Drake as well.
Is he?
He is. He's playing Nathan Drake in the Uncharted film that's happening.
I would have thought it would have gone with someone older. What I was going to say was, before my tongue tied up, was that I thought they would have gone with someone older for Nathan Drake, but I don't mind.
I have gone for Tom Holland, because again, if you look at Little Mac, it fits. They look somewhat similar. It makes sense.
He bulked up for Spider-Man, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it fits. I think he'll be a good Little Mac, I think.
Good. My next character, if I can move on, is the character of Gina Cross.
Okay.
Now, Gina Cross in Half-Life is the holographic assistant that prepares Gordon Freeman for any possible disaster in his job as a research associate.
Yeah.
Now, she doesn't appear much. She's basically sort of like the Cortana to his Master Chief, to use a Halo reference.
Nice.
She'll be the holographic assistant, sort of UI, helping him out and being with him. In his sort of head, or, you know, like a hologram, helping him out throughout his adventure. And she'll be played by Amy Adams from, if you're familiar, from Man of Steel, Arrival, American Hustle. She's got the role as an intelligent and very intuitive actress. I feel like she could play that role well. She has a physical resemblance to Gina Cross. They're both ginger. Which is not the only character trait. They just happen to be both ginger. They're both ginger, and I feel like Amy Adams sort of has that feeling. She has that sort of has that wit and that eye and that smile. And I think she could really do Gina Cross justice. So that is my Gina Cross, my holographic assistant to the character. She'll be played by Amy Adams.
I mean, good casting choice. I'm a little bit speechless because you've just made me realise something that I've not realised.
And
maybe viewers at home haven't. You mentioned that her character's like Cortana.
Yeah.
From Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you said Cortana, my mind went, oh, that's the that's the Microsoft thing you speak to. It's like Microsoft Siri. And then my head went, wait a minute, Microsoft is Xbox. They've called it Cortana because of that one reason. And yes. I haven't realized that until just now.
How long did that take you to find out, Corbin?
Just now.
Wow.
You know that meme? You know what it's meme? It's like, oh, how old were you when you realized now?
Now, you are now, however years old, you have discovered that the fact that Cortana is the name of the Master Chief.
I was about to say 21. I'm 20.
Holographic assistant in Halo is the name why Microsoft has called their sort of UI assistant computer Cortana.
So. Yeah, that took some time.
Indeed. So who is your sort of secondary supporting character?
It's got to be the coach.
Oh, nice.
It's got to be coach. I mean, okay, brief explanation. He's your coach.
He's
the guy in the corner every round, every time you beat someone. He's a guy who gives you the motivation while also eating a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Again, he is in the games the main comedy character, right? Mm-hmm. He's the comedic force behind the games. And similarly, the comedic force behind my films.
Okay. So who have you gone with?
Now, he's a bit older in the games as well. So it's like, okay, right, and he's someone a bit on the older side, bit of comedy. He also does resemble the character somewhat in appearance. I've also picked this guy because I haven't really seen him in much recently, and I really like him as an actor. I've gone for Mr. Eddie Murphy.
That's a good pick, I think.
One of my favourite actors for comedy, and he's not big. I know he's got a film coming out like next year, I think he's like Coming to America 2, but other than that, I've not seen anything for ages, but he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So whack him in, Eddie Murphy, bit of comedy there. He's good, he's got the voices, he has the accent, he's very good at like the movements, he knows what he's doing.
I think he'd be a very strong comedic force in your film. He'd be able to, you know, give out the lines, give out the one-liners. Of course he did Coming to America and Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Did great stuff. Nutty Professor, Shrek.
I love Nutty Professor. Yeah, Shrek. He was Mushu in Disney.
Mm. Did he do Coming to America 2 like this year?
Yeah, it's either coming out this year, or it's came out, or it's next year. I don't know.
I think it's already out.
Yeah, it might be.
I think it's called Coming to America.
Yes.
And the 2 is like a number 2.
But yes, because they're clever.
Yeah, indeed, because they're clever like that. So yeah, I think it's already out.
I think it is actually. You might be right on that one.
Oh, right, okay. We'll review it if we.
Yeah.
Sure. So yeah, is that your coach is Eddie Murphy?
Coach is Eddie Murphy.
Great. Now, my next character is you have a comedy character. Now I have a comedy character.
Okay.
This is my comedic relief, my comedy relief for the film. It is the character of Barney Calhoun. Now nice. In the game, Barney Calhoun is a Black Mesa security guard who is tasked with duties of guarding assigned sections, performing general maintenance, assisting the science team. He could be a funny side character, comedic relief if Gordon Freeman's a bit more serious. And for that role, I've gone with Jeremy Piven.
Oh.
Now, again, I've gone for another sort of, he looks a bit like Barney Calhoun, slightly, similar sort of hairstyle, similar sort of facial structure. Also, he's been in films like Entourage, he's known for, Rock and Roller, Sid City, those sort of things. Also, he's a comedian, so he can do that sort of, I don't want to say comedy routine, but he can be funny when he needs to be funny. He'll have a smaller role than Amy Adams as Gina Cross, as a more supporting character, pops up now and then, has a joke, maybe has like a couple of funny scenes. That's what I sort of think for Barney Calhoun. Not a big character, but I think he could do very well in the role. So yeah, that is my Barney Calhoun. It is Jeremy Piven.
Okay. That's
who
nice.
Who have you got next? Now I'm thinking, you've done the coach, you've done Little Mac, you've got to get some like boxing opponents,
yes.
I'm thinking.
I've got who's he facing? Who's, you know, can't be a boxing film without your rivals.
Yeah.
So how it works with Punch Out is you start off, and it's essentially normally in the same order. The first person you fight every time is a French man called Glass Joe. Now, Glass Joe is like 99-0. He's lost 99 matches, not 1-1. It is, in like every Punch-Out game, the first person you face.
Okay.
So
is a put on Glass Jaw, I imagine.
Yes, I believe he is. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, the character's French. I was like, okay, I'll try and get a French actor. He's quite young, I believe. So the person I thought, I was scrolling through IMDb and I saw this person, oh, that's it, I've got him. There's kind of a resemblance. If you gave him a different haircut, it will probably work. I've gone for a guy, I'm going to try and pronounce this in a French accent. Anyone who's French out there, I apologise right now. It's Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah.
God. Yeah, I know.
Because I was like, oh, and I was, he's young. Not the fact he's been nominated for an Oscar already, and he's like 22 years old.
Yes. Call me by your name, Lady Bird.
Well, I don't know. He's, I think, 25. I think he was 22 when he got nominated.
Okay.
Which is like essentially 2 years from us now.
And it's like, he's Jesus. In Dune. He's in the new Dune.
Exactly. And I was thinking, you know what? A young French actor. He's good. I feel like he's, even though, again, he's been nominated for an Oscar, I feel like he's not quite reached, like, main star level. But again, he's young, so he's not going to. But I think, you know what? Whack him in. He's the first person he faces. He'll do it, and it'll be good.
Give him a bit of backstory, perhaps. Give him a bit of character.
Yeah, exactly. A bit of character. He's lost 99 times. He's a bit of comedy again, but...
Yeah.
But it'd be good. I've picked Timothy Chalamet.
Excellent. Now, these characters are probably going to get a bit more... I don't want to say I'm reaching, but these characters aren't in the game much, but I've given them roles because I feel like it could be expanded upon, okay?
Fairs.
Now, this character is Dr. Eli Vance.
Okay.
And Dr. Eli Vance is employed at the Black Mesa Research Facility, working in Sector C, and Sector C is Anomalous Materials, where Gordon Freeman works. As a full-time employee of Black Mesa, he lives in the facility itself with his wife, Azian, and their younger daughter, Alex, who is the protagonist of Half-Life Alex, if you played it.
Yeah.
It's a VR game, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And I have gone with... you might know his name, actually. This might be the first one who you might know his name, apart from Hugh Laurie and Amy Adams. It is Tony Todd. Do you know who Tony Todd is?
Sounds familiar.
Do you know the Candyman?
Yes.
You never say his name five times.
Right, okay.
He is the horror villain, Candyman. Tony Todd, he's big, he's tall, he's got a powerful voice, and I feel like he could be Dr. Eli Vance. Now, I've got some reason here. First off, he's done a lot of bloody stuff. He's in loads of stuff. Just this year, he's been in 16 projects already.
Nice.
I know. He's been in 16 projects already this year, only already in 2021. So he's loads of work, and he's also a solid actor. He can be scary and imposing where he needs to be, but also he's very kind, very father-like with his voice, with his cadence. So that's why I've gone with Tony Todd. I was going to go with Keith David, but initially Tony Todd sort of won out because I thought I'd like to see Tony Todd in this role as the father to Alex, maybe Alex can get a cameo or something.
Yeah.
And he could go around with Gordon Freeman, like investigating the facility. I'd like to see that as well. So my Dr. Eli Vance is Tony Todd.
Okay. So at this point, because literally it is just a case of he fights loads of fighters. There are a couple of main ones I get into a bit later. I've just picked my favourites of the characters. The next one I've picked is the best Japanese fighter. He goes by two names, one of which because they had to change it. His original name was Piston Honda, but it had to get changed to Piston Hondo, presumably because the car factory manufacturer did not like using the name.
Yeah.
He is the Japanese fighter, the Japanese boxer. And again, I was like, right, okay, I want someone from Japan. And I was like, oh, okay, I know who to get. It's the first person I picked in my head. He's a bit of an older fighter.
I think I know who's coming.
Older than Glass Joe. I don't know if you do.
All right, okay, go on then. Hit me.
Have gone for, and I am going to butcher his name, so anyone who's Japanese out there, I apologise. This whole film pitch is of me apologising to every single country because I've got to pronounce people's names.
Yeah.
I have gone for Hiroyuki Sanada.
Okay.
The guy who is playing Scorpion.
Ah, nice.
Only because, again, it's another fighting game, it's another film game, and I'm like, you know what? He's doing Mortal Kombat, which is going to be awesome. He is Japanese, and like he fits, and like he has the look of like this menacing guy, but he's also calm at the same time. I'm like, yep, yeah, okay, he's perfect. He's going in.
Nice. No, I reckon he could do it. I reckon he's a martial art. I don't want to say just he's Japanese, but I do reckon that he's an actual martial artist.
He's got some moves.
Yeah, so he can actually, you know, get in there. It's boxing, but I bet he still can get in there and throw some good hands.
Exactly. And I think the Mortal Kombat training will come in handy as well for it.
Yeah.
So he is my Piston Hondo, or Honda, depending on whatever.
Well done. I think that's a solid choice. That's a very good choice.
Thank you.
Now, I don't want to say that I'm very freaked out by how we're sort of structuring this, but my next character is somewhat similar to your...
Of course he is.
Now, as part of our rules, we aren't allowed to choose somebody who does the voice for the video game characters.
Mm.
That is off the tables. But I think I found a loophole.
Okay.
This next character is called Arne Magnusson. And before the Black Mesa incident, Magnusson worked as a Black Mesa scientist. He was the creator of the Magnusson device, which is a deadly anti-Strider weapon. Striders are enemies in the game.
Okay.
And I've chosen Paul Einhorn. Now, you might not know who he is. He is an actor.
Yeah.
He was in mostly independent films, but some films that got critical acclaim, like Viper Club and The Dead Men. But most importantly, Paul Einhorn is a Seattle-based independent actor who was the CGI model of Arne Magnusson.
Nice. Okay. That's a fair loophole.
Yeah. He provided the CGI model, the CGI base for the face of Arne Magnusson. I thought we're getting a bit of a deep cut in there, fan service, get the guy who actually is the face of the character acting the role. Because I love stuff like that. That's stuff that really gets me. That's stuff that really pulls me in, seeing that sort of thing. Seeing some deep cuts and references, seeing that people that are making the film understand the film and understand where it all comes from. So he's a prominent actor from the Seattle filmmaking community, which is where Valve is based.
And
according to the developer's commentary on the game, Magnusson was inspired by... Now, Magnusson doesn't actually appear in Half-Life, but he sort of does.
Yeah.
He appears mostly in Half-Life 2 as a member of the Resistance, but he was inspired by the design of a scientist who appeared in the Anomalous Materials chapter of the original game. So I've put him in here just as like, maybe he gets like a cameo or like a little role or something like that.
Yeah.
So just to show that he was in the sequel, he'll appear more. But in this first film, he'll get like a small role perhaps as a Black Mesa scientist. So I've gone with Paul Einhorn as Arne Magnusson. And personally, he's only in here just because he was the CGI model. He wasn't the voice.
Yeah.
He was just the CGI model, CGI face of Arne Magnusson. I really love the fact that if he turns up in live action, he will look exactly the same.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I bet he can just use his regular voice and sound fine anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is my choice for Arne Magnusson. It's Paul Einhorn.
Okay. So my next one is, it's a little bit of, it's kind of fan service, it's kind of comedy, but again, it also fits and I kind of felt like I had to do it. So
okay,
I'm going for one of the end bosses, right? This is like one of the better fighters.
Yeah.
Hard to beat. This is a challenge. This is the, it's very similar to another boxer in Rocky. This is the character known as Super Macho Man.
Yeah,
exactly. This is the character
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah. You're welcome.
Can you say snap into a Slim Jim?
Snap into a Slim Jim. Welcome for that as well.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Super Macho Man, which I'm not joking, I'm pretty sure is a reference to Macho Man Randy Savage.
Of course he is. I know he is. 100%.
But this is the thing. He doesn't look like Macho Man Randy Savage. Instead, he is a guy who is old, tanned. I want to see if you can see where I'm going with this. Old, tanned, and is kind of losing his hair.
Oh, okay, right.
He's got
okay.
long hair, but he's not got much of it. Which is why, for Super Macho Man, I think it's only fitting that the guy who plays him is his old tag team partner, Mr. Hulk Hogan himself.
Oh, no! Hulkamania is going to run wild on you, brother.
Because, again, it makes sense. He's in Rocky. He's Thunderlips.
Yeah, he is.
I'm like, it's a character, but I'm pretty sure it's based off Macho Man, but kind of looks like Hulk Hogan. Of course I'm going to get Hulk Hogan to play
him. Oh my god, that is fan service to the nth degree, Corey. Well done.
Just because I think it'll be... It's great, he does the flexes and everything. It makes perfect sense.
Are you ready, brother? You ready for Hulkamania to run wild on you, brother?
I there just want him in it. It's, exactly, it writes itself. Super Macho Man, does. Hulk Hogan.
It really does. Oh, that is great. That is, and also, I bet he could get in there and throw some sort of. He could be like the heavy hitter boxer.
Exactly. He is still. You know, he's big. He's got about 24-inch pythons, man. He's intimidating.
Yeah. He's gonna give it the leg drop or whatever he does.
Exactly. He's gonna Hulk up. Is what he's gonna do.
Yeah, he's gonna Hulk up. Hulkamania, brother. Yeah.
I like that.
You've sort of gone into sort of not the villainish, but these the sort of antagonistic characters.
Yeah.
And now I will go into the antagonistic characters. There's two big ones in the first half of our game.
Yeah.
And this is the first one. This is, I'm now going to cast, I don't know, I have problems with pronouncing this name every time I think of it and say it. Fair enough. It is the Nihilanth. Yeah. Nihilanth. I'll say Nihilanth, like Nihilist.
Yeah, makes sense.
The Nihilanth came from a powerful species that hailed beyond the world of the Zen dimension. On their own home world in their own universe, long before the Black Mesa incident. The Nihilanth was the supreme leader of the Zen forces that invaded Earth during the Black Mesa incident, and it's the final boss of the Half-Life game. And just to preface this, the Nihilanth will be a fully CGI character.
Okay.
Because obviously if you know anything about what he looks like, he's a massive like floating brain with tentacles and like a weird mandible mouth and big eyes, and he floats around, and he's got little tentacles that sort of flop everywhere. It's like a big space octopus, right?
Yeah.
With a big brain. He's a big space octopus, big grey space octopus. And he'll be played, or he'll be voiced by, Andy Serkis.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that makes complete sense.
It does. Andy Serkis, the king of mocap.
Exactly.
He's got tremendous range as a voice actor. If he wants to mocap it, whatever, let him do it.
I'm sure he'll find a way to do it and do it flawlessly.
He'll find a way to play a giant 20-foot grey space octopus. He will find a way to do it. He's got his own production studio for this kind of thing now. He loves mocap. I said he's very versatile with it. He's a great CGI actor. He can get in there, he can get in the suit, he can do it if he wants. The Nihilanth species is a very powerful being. It's almost godlike in its nature. And I think Andy Serkis can really capture that, like he did with Snoke and like he did with Caesar.
Yeah.
He's got that resonant, he can get that powerful voice, and he really embodies the character. But when you see him become Gollum in Lord of the Rings during those sort of behind-the-scenes footage, it is masterful to watch how he can sort of become it, and the story of how he based it on his cat. Cat moves around, and how his cat coughs up a furball, and that's where the voice comes from. That's where the sort of movements, the sort of slinky, stealthy movements come from. It's amazing, and I think Andy Serkis will do a fantastic job, an awesome job as the Nihilanth.
I mean, yeah, it's a good pick.
Mm, thank
it's a
you.
Very
thank
good
you.
Pick.
So do you have? Do you have any more for me?
I do. I mean, this is an obvious one. We alluded to it earlier. Mike Tyson has to be in this.
Oh, okay.
To briefly explain it, Mike Tyson was in the 87 one that I was alluding to. It was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. He was the final boss. You had to beat Mike Tyson.
That's very infamous, that game.
Exactly, and it's just Mike Tyson. It's Mike Tyson being Mike Tyson. He's been in films before. He was in Ip Man.
He was. Donnie Yen, Ip Man, for
exactly.
Mike Tyson.
So he knows what he's doing. He's done acting before. He is a boxer. He's so intimidating. In fact, he boxed last year.
Yeah.
I've got to have Mike Tyson. I mean, I'd love to see him. I would love to see Tyson and Hogan have a little interaction.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Because why not?
Seeing massive figures like Hulk Hogan and Mike Tyson taking on like a little Mac figure would be great.
I mean, yeah, he has to be in it. I don't know if I'd have him be the final, like, big thing, or just have him have, like, a cameo, where he just kind of appears and he's there.
Okay.
But either way, he's fine.
We'll have him like maybe like as like the big boss for the next film or something. Like he shows at the end like Thanos.
It's comes like, out at the end.
Some feet. Hulk Hogan, little Mac, it's me. It's me, Mike Tyson.
Oh, I love that. Be great.
Something like that, yeah. Now, in the style of a villain for the sequel,
yes,
this is probably the second most infamous character after Gordon Freeman in Half-Life.
Yep.
And he is the overarching antagonist. It's the G-Man, isn't
nice.
It?
Nice.
It's the G-Man. But who could possibly be playing the G-Man?
I was waiting for you to get to this character.
Good, good. Do you have any expectations at all?
I don't know who you'd pick, but he needs to have somewhat of a decent voice. Because whenever I think G-Man, I just think Half-Life 2 and the whole, like, good morning, Mr. Freeman. So sort of, like,
oh, yeah. Beautiful. This guy can do it. This guy can do it. I have chosen the one, the only, a hero, an icon of mine, Ben Mendelsohn.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That guy can do it.
Yeah, exactly. That guy can do it. We're talking director Krennic. We're talking Talos, Captain Marvel, and Sheriff of Nottingham, Robin Hood. We're talking Hollywood's villain go-to guy,
yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn, for a real hard-hitting villain, a real antagonistic guy. So this is who I've gone for. Now, I've got reasoning behind this, not just because he's got a high body of work playing the antagonist.
Hmm.
Have you seen a little Netflix show called Bloodline?
No, I've heard of it.
In that show, he plays the black sheep of this very wealthy family. And he's very low-key. He's not, you know, shouting and bawling, ah, the, you know, Marvel villain or Star Wars villain. He's very cold, he's very calm, he's very enigmatic, and I like that. He can do an American accent. He is Australian, but he can do an American accent. He's done it before. And he's mysterious, and I feel like he can really play... The G-Man is meant to be this sinister, interdimensional bureaucrat whose identity and motives remain unexplained by Valve and by Half-Life even to this day. His allegiance is unknown. His true identity is unknown. Everything is unknown about the G-Man, other than his name and his look and his voice. But I think Ben Mendelsohn can do it. He oozes charisma and intimidation. He can be cool. He can be sort of tactical and calm. I like that as well. He can sort of move the twist, tease a villain, but maybe it's the nine lamp at the end, but then at the real end we get the G-Man or something like that. Maybe he could tease. There's that whole sequence that's sort of very lucid in the first Half-Life game where the G-Man shows up. We could get that as well. And personally, I could just imagine Ben Mendelsohn in the suit, with his hair all slicked back and stuff, with the sort of really cool demeanor and all of that, all the trimmings. I could really see that in my mind's eye. That's who I saw as the G-Man. So that is who I've picked. I've picked the one and only Ben Mendelsohn as the G-Man.
It's a very good pick.
Thank you.
It's a very good pick.
I think these are both... I could see both of these films happening.
I hope they do.
Yes, come to us, Hollywood. We'll cast your films for you.
Yeah, come on, Nintendo. It's not like you've made bad films before.
Valve, you can do it. Yeah, these are. I see these as very plausible. We've sort of gone we've gone logical with these castings, I think.
Yeah,
we've gone people who are somewhat obvious, but also there's a few curveballs in there, and that's good. That's good for a. That's good for a cast as well. We've got strong villains, both of us. You've got Hulk Hogan, Mike Tyson. I've got Andy Serkis and Ben Mendelsohn, you know. Both, all amazing.
I love that. It's like polar opposites of each other. It's great.
Yeah. Your guys are going to be like real tough,
yeah.
Tough, powerful, you know, shouty dudes. And mine are more like sinister and that type of thing. So yeah, I think it's great. Yours is going to be, I can see yours as sort of, the, like dodgeball with boxing, which is great.
Yeah, essentially.
And mine is, mine's kind of like, I'd kind of like a sort of underground Star Trek-y type thing.
Yeah.
Which could be good as well. So, yeah, that they are both incredibly solid. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us.
I'd go watch them.
Yeah, I'd watch both these things all day long. But to round out, this episode, we always decide to hit you, listener, with a weekly rec. So Let's hit it. What have you got for weekly recommendations this week, Corey?
Okay, so I am hoping you've seen this, because if you have, this is a film for a somewhat decent film for discussion. If you haven't, you've definitely seen like pictures or like stills or whatever. In fact, I'm pretty sure most people have probably seen at least one character from this film.
Okay.
So this film came out. I was about to say it came out a while back. It wasn't that long ago. It felt like that long ago. Came out in 2015. It's a short film. It's not long. It's half an hour. And it's on YouTube, and it's free.
Right.
And in fact, it was free when it's released, because it was like independently made. It's a great film, even better for the amazing soundtrack it has. There's one song in particular, which is great. I am talking about Kung Fury.
Kung Fury. I am familiar with Kung Fury, indeed. There was a Kickstarter, wasn't there?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, give me a bit of backstory then.
Yeah, so it's this guy who, like, I can't, it's because I saw it when it came out, I just remember it being great. It's like he goes back in time, or tries to go back in time to, like, stop Hitler. Because I think Hitler can now time travel, which is
of course he can.
Exactly. And, like, he goes, like, this dinosaur period, where there's, like, Vikings riding dinosaurs. David Hasselhoff is there, he's in it.
Gotta have a bit of the Hoff.
Exactly, he sings a song called True Survivor, which is the song I was on about. Everyone go check that out as well. Fantastic song. And literally, it's essentially just like this guy's rallying up like these people, like Hacker Man, which is the one guy everyone's probably seen the picture of. It's a guy called Hacker Man.
Right, yes.
Who uses the power glove. See, it fits into video games. He's got a power glove. It fits. And it's this weird, like, somewhat comedy involving a guy who does Kung Fu and Hitler. And that's it for half an hour, and it's great. It's all, like, green-screened. There's a behind-the-scenes video on YouTube where he shows off how he did it. Like, all the dinosaurs are CGI, and he's just, like, got this weird green screen, like, chair, and, like, he somehow roped David Hasselhoff to do all this green screen stuff as well. It's weird, but it's bizarre, but I love it.
Well, I think it is at heart what a video game sort of film adaptation should be.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
there was a second one. I've not seen the second one. I can't vouch for the second one. I'm recommending the first one.
All right, well, first one, you know what? Always go for the first, when in doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Go check out the first one. Like the first one, maybe go check out the second one.
So, what would you rate the first Kung Fury?
So, I was going to rate it around about the 8 mark.
Right, that's good. That's high.
Then I realised, I was like, oh, okay, I think I'll give it an 8. You know, I think an 8 is fair. An 8 is, you know, decent. It's a good film. It's good fun. It's only half an hour. It's short. And then I remembered the song with David Hasselhoff.
Yep.
So I'm bumping it up to an 8.5.
Nice. It gets that little bit of boost due to the Hoff. The Hoff pulls it through.
Exactly. I love this. All these actors we're mentioning today. It's so random, but it's great.
It is. We're bringing up everybody. From Hugh Laurie to Hulk Hogan to the Hoff, everyone.
It's a great film. If you don't want to watch it, at least listen to that song.
Yeah, give it a try for the Hoff.
I was also, this is on a somewhat of a side note, I was actually going to pick a different game. I was going to pick Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
For anyone out there who's familiar with Dynasty Warriors, but apparently it's actually getting a film. I think it's like an only Japan release, but apparently it's like already filmed, so I end up picking Punch Out. So also, if you're finding Dynasty Warriors, there's a film coming out. I just thought I'd put that out there. But yeah, Kung Fury, it's on YouTube, it's half an hour long, it's fantastic. I highly recommend checking it out.
Oh, awesome. So that is your weekly rec for this week with a real rate of 8.5. It is the original Kung Fury, and what's the song called by the Hoff?
True Survivor
by the Hoff. But for a song to end this episode, we are going with, this is Corey's choice. So we are going with the Backstreet Boys, 1999, and I Want It That Way. Which way do you want it, Corey? I don't know, that way.
Yeah, exactly. I want it that way.
Excellent. Are you pointing somewhere?
Yeah, I was, but obviously it's radio, so no one can tell. But yeah, I want it that way.
No, I want it that way, over there.
Everyone wants it a different way. Everyone points different directions, but I want it that way, specifically that way.
Specifically that way, only that way, only go that way.
Exactly, not that way.
So we are going to end this episode with I Want It That Way, which was featured in the soundtrack of GTA 5. Both of these songs were.
Who would have thought it?
Yeah, who would have thought it? All these songs throughout these 3 weeks are featured in GTA 5. Just play GTA 5, why don't you?
Yeah, I know. Too bad.
But I'm not the boss of you. Play GTA 5 if you want to. It's got these songs in it. So, we're ending with I Want It That Way, right? The Backstreet Boys from 1999. Bye-bye, folks.
Bye.
My fire, the one desire, believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart, can't reach to your heart when say that I want it that way. Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why.
I never wanna hear you say
I want it that way.
Am I your fire? Fire, the one desire.